The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast, Joshua Adam Marathon with the Futurist, Mo, like and the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How goes it?
Well, we just had a fantastic part one. Did you go listen to it? We talked about how phenomenal the G1 was, and now we get to talk about the WWE and their quarter report.
Whoa, so exciting.
So, let me just get started, I guess. We're going to start with some of the second quarter highlights for 2019 for them. Revenues were $268.9 million compared to $281 in the first quarter. So they dropped a significant amount. Operating income was $17.1 million. And was adjusted OBIA, I don't know what the hell that is, was 34, which exceeded the company. So more or less, they kind of bounced a little bit up in overall income. Announced content, distribution deals for BT Sport in the UK, Fox Sport in Latin America, PP Sports in China, and providing strong platform to reach WWE audiences. The network average paid subscribers were 1.68 paid subscriber, consistent with the company's guidance. Digital view videos increased 70% to 9 billion. Hours commenced increased by 22 to 324 hours across digital platforms, and social media followers increased 10 million by 10% to over 1.02 billion. What I take out of this overall, number one, is obviously losing revenue by a decent amount. But then I look at the digital video views, which is YouTube. And I think that's kind of where the viewer like me is. Maybe I don't want to speak for you, Mo, but maybe like you is, I'm not going to watch 3 hours of Raw, 2 hours of SmackDown, but I'll go watch a clip on YouTube.
What you're seeing here is, yes, overall revenue is down. And there's most of these numbers aren't good numbers, right? No. And they're trying to push up these things like these things like the YouTube views and, you know, social media and all these things. They don't actually generate them any revenue. So the funny thing is that as far as overall profits, they're gonna turn great profits, but for the year. But all these profits are based on what's coming in now and what it was coming in the next little while is based on what has been built in from the last couple of years. So it's the same thing. The current product and the decrease in popularity, even though we're seeing a decrease in actual income here, the actual real the real consequences of this are still a couple years away, right? 2 or 3 years away. So I mean, but you have to keep in mind, yeah, revenue is down. It's WrestleMania quarter, and they managed to lose viewers. And if they didn't have that Saudi deal, they'd really be pooped. But they do have the Saudi deal, and it's a long-term deal. It's there for many, many years. So it's a crazy thing because the damage that is happening to their company is really funny to me. Like Fox, if I'm Fox, I'd be so uncomfortable getting into bed with this company and everything right now, based on what I think the public perception is of the company more and more and more. But they're locked in, and it's just
to two properties, really XFL as well. Which, yeah. I've heard more positive things about the XFL the last little bit. We'll see how it runs. But I've heard positive stuff to camps and everything like that. So we'll see. We saw what the AAF
nobody
was.
Nobody wants the XFL.
The viewers. Well, okay. This is what was interesting about what the AAF did is it had better viewership than any other sport that was on the program. It was beating college basketball. It was beating the NBA. It was beating NASCAR. It was beating the NHL. They had the ratings there, and they were sustaining decent ratings around 5 million or so. They didn't have the decent cash flow, and obviously people weren't going live to those attendances. I don't know what the future of the XFL is, give them credit in sustaining decent television with ABC, ESPN, FS1, and Fox. And they actually have someone that's going to bankroll them on, like, the AAF. But it will be interesting to see where that all goes overall.
Yes, somebody who is expecting and okay with losing $200 million.
Yeah.
Thinking that the idea being that the property will be valuable enough based on its ratings after the current television deals are done, that the next time the television deals come up, now the property will be worth enough based on those ratings to pull in a major television deal. This will not work out. Right now. But anyways, we're here to. But that's the thing about the consequences of the property losing popularity that we're seeing right now won't actually affect the pocketbook for a while. It's the same thing. In 1998, WCW had their highest ever profits. They had $80 million in profits that year, while the product was being people were shitting on the product, saying it's terrible. And they're saying, "Who cares? You don't know what you're talking about. We're turning all this money." Well, 2.5 years later, they're out of business. Now, I'm not saying WWE will be out of business in 2.5 years, but the consequences of this product and the fact that they're not connecting to the audience is going to flow down in the coming years.
Right.
And I've said, I'm not saying necessarily they would go out of business. I've said it's not impossible. The people that think it's impossible are wrong, especially as you see the amount of money they're spending on things like I know this is supposed to be Vince's own money, but we all know where it comes from for the XFL, or the fact that they're just the expenses that they're having to run just to compete against AEW, as well as the global expansion they're trying to do that's not necessarily taking off. So you have all these different financial things going on. So but make no doubt about it, this is a product that is not connecting, and you've seen some of it this quarter, but we have not seen the worst of what's to come yet as far as WWE financials.
It's interesting because you mentioned global expansion, and that tripped my memory is that Hunter was talking to Dragon Gate, and WWE had been talking to Stardom. Whether that means anything, it could mean a whole lot of nothing, or it could mean something. But you talk about it, the product has atrophied. WWE has atrophied, and you're slowly seeing it where it's just like, I don't care. Like, numbers came out that Seth did worse house show attendance and worse attendance overall than Jinder did as champion. But not on Seth. That's not on Seth necessarily. That's on who he was paired up with for the bulk of his first title run, and just a product as a whole. And that's being tied in with Baron Corbin and just not any engaging, interesting storylines across the board. Oh, I think the most interesting storyline WWE is putting out right now is Drake Maverick.
Yeah, but you can't say it's not. You can't say it's not Rollins at all. You can't. He's
a factor in it for sure, but I would say it's multiple bricks in the numbers being weak across the board. Why do you think Seth didn't click? Seth beating Brock at Mania and then moving forward.
Because he's facing Baron Corbin. That's a reason. He's not facing anyone good at the house show. He's facing Baron Corbin.
It's overall, when the booking is bad overall, then it doesn't even matter what. But Baron Corbin is also a big part of it. I mean, he's just the black hole of charisma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the reasons he hasn't clicked is, I think a lot of it is he's back on top, but he's just so not a fresh face. He just feels like, much like Kofi, just feel like guys, it's like, okay, that's nice, we like you. But there's nothing, I've said this before, if you ever look at a territory when it pops, it's because one of three things has happened. A guy's been gone and has come back with a new gimmick, and that gimmick popped the territory, or a heel has come in and popped the territory, or it's a baby face turn, a heel turning, a strong heel turning baby face, that pops a territory sometimes in the past. But the biggest thing is usually a fresh guy coming in, you know? I mean, Steve Austin coming into the WWE was a guy who'd never been in the WWE before. Like, he was fresh, and it was a fresh character. It wasn't the same character that we saw in WCW, right? Like, that's what pops a territory. And so it has to be somebody new, because otherwise it just feels like the same old, same old. And that's the problem with these guys, is they just – Seth Rollins is being – I can't tell you – nothing feels fresh that he does. It's not just the opponent. Like, I can't even get as excited for him versus AJ as I should.
Well, Moxie took food off his table, too, so.
He's had a
rough year.
I'm telling you, I still think the crowd is going to be like, at some point, they're, man. That's the one thing about facing Corbin. At least against Corbin, nobody was booing him.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody said, sure.
My crazy conspiracy theory is, they're going to let Rollins cut his own throat with all of this and get booed so that they can put in Roman. Because one of the comments that I keep seeing pop up online, and I'm seeing it pop up more and more, and this is a small sample, but this could be a precursor to something down the line, is a lot of people are talking about when Seth says something stupid online, because Seth seems to do that every couple of weeks, is Roman and Cena never really did this, and I think that's a false statement, but you're seeing people with that mindset more and more popping up. Well, Roman wasn't saying stuff like that. I think Roman was saying dumb things.
Rollins does say it more often lately, but I mean, I also figure, don't you guys figure the storyline is for Rollins to take the title off, or sorry, for Reigns to take the title off Rollins at WrestleMania? Like, that's felt like a storyline for me ever since Rollins won the belt at WrestleMania in the previous year.
I think Brock's beating him at SummerSlam and Roman's beating Brock.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. Again, same thing. Talk about not feeling fresh. But no, my feeling is, no matter what, is Rollins will be turning heel and going against Reigns at WrestleMania. You know?
Yeah, some form of the way.
Well, you look at it, like the numbers, we talk about the second quarter and everything, but one of the things I look at is the end of Extreme Rules. When Baron Corbin hit the end of days on Becky and Seth snaps and just beats the ever-loving hell out of him and then hits the curb stomp and 1-2-3, and I felt like there was a little bit more energy in the crowd at that moment. I just felt like when Brock cashed in, like, it wasn't done properly. Seth should have been more to Becky's side at that time, and having to go and suddenly have to switch gears very suddenly. Like, they didn't convey that properly, which I didn't like. I felt like that story wasn't told properly. And then just when Brock won, I felt like that took any little buzz that they may have had and just zapped it from the room. Because again, it's status quo. Same old thing, same old, same old.
Well, Brock essentially beat him in seconds clean. You know, yep. I mean, he hit one F5. He didn't. And it's not like Rollins was beat up after the match or anything like that.
Because there was a rumor that I heard heading into that Monday Night Raw where they're going to have the Battle Royale for who is going to challenge Brock. And I'd heard a rumor from a few different sources that were decent that it was going to be Big E, that they were going to have Big E and Brock because they wanted a fresh matchup for Brock. And you can forget the Beast in the East for a moment, and then it's a fresh matchup. And I was like, oh, I kind of in on Big E doing this. I think that could be a fun match because Big E's a big guy and Brock's a big guy. Just have two big guys beating the piss out of each other. And then Seth won, and I was like, I don't know how I just saw this. Yeah. It's regurgitated.
And you know what? It doesn't help when I also. Not only did I just see that, but I've also seen, and you know it's still going to happen in some fashion, I've also seen Miz versus Ziggler. I've also seen, even though he's a different character now, I've also seen Bray Wyatt versus Finn. Like, you know?
No wonder Finn wants to take a couple months off. That's the big rumor in the story going right now, is that Finn's taken at least 2 months off. And there are some rumblings that they may put Finn into the OC, Not your OC, Josh. The original club.
California! Here we go!
I regret this already because he sang.
We gotta get Jabardin out of there. We got Adam Brody in a match. We gotta get Captain Oates coming down. And then Benjamin McKenzie's gonna come out. We need some Sandy Koufax with his big ass eyebrows out there. Already. Let's do this.
I regret this already. But you throw Finn with
when's the lawsuit happening, by the way? You know when they had the weird sorority sister lawsuit that they had? When is the OC lawsuit gonna happen? Or like them be like, we're not gonna be called the OC? Because literally every time on Twitter, any social media, you see the OC, you see someone just yell California.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Nothing about the OC feels like a first name.
No, it's a pretty popular show from the 2000s.
Well, even Bullet Club had their version of the OC, right?
Yeah.
The actual Bullet Club, yeah. No, just nothing. Nothing.
I still stand. I feel like Drake Maverick has been the most engaging person in WWE right now.
True.
That's really small, but I feel like 24/7 and wanting to consummate his marriage and running around in the banana suit at Comic-Con and everything that was going on with that. I've enjoyed, and his poster of his baby and his wife in the corner has been abducted and he's looking for both of them. I don't know. It's one of the small things. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm sports entertained by this.
Well, let's move on to the next part. Network.
Let me just say one quick thing.
Yeah.
Let me just share an old quote from virtually every successful booker in the history of wrestling. Funny doesn't equal money.
It's the class of tomorrow.
It really doesn't. And I wouldn't sit there and say that I'm going to go out and buy the shirts or anything for the 24/7 title. If the biggest thing that I'm enjoying is this not even the opening match, a pre-show program that you have, then you're kind of in trouble.
The segment between Mike Bennett, not this last week, but the previous week on 205 Live, Mike Bennett talking to Drake Maverick and calling him out to force them to go into an unsanctioned match against each other?
That was where so Bennett well done.
It was both of them awesome. Great promos. I'd rather see, that's where Maverick impresses me far more than that.
Well, Michael Bennett great. Too. It's entirely different from him and Maria and on Raw to that.
It's crazy how different he is compared. Like you and both of them, how different they are comparatively. And it's just 205 Live. Like I recently watched this week's 205 Live. And again, I will say this. I want this on the record. Isaiah Scott, Shane Strickland, Swerve. I think that guy has all the potential in the world. And whether WWE does something with it is totally up to them. But I think that's a guy that you saw him win the crowd over in his match against Drew Gulak. And it just – I thought he had a lot of good momentum. And the selling of his hand, the way he – threw that punch and that just rippled throughout the whole match and ultimately cost him the match, but you had that big moment where he threw the punch. It just it showed psychology and just an overall awareness in ring of doing something that impacts overall. And just when he had certain holds in, he couldn't use his grip properly and that force that broke his grip. I just wanted to go on that side tangent.
All right, the network. The company initiated the transition of the network and changing to a new platform on July 24th, which will provide users with a better experience, a more intuitive interface, and enhance search functionality. The platform also enables the introduction of new features and experiences over time, including the addition of free and premium tiers, as well as localization of content in multiple languages. How they didn't have multiple languages already after, 5 years of that is pretty ridiculous. And then they produced more than 90 hours of original content, including documentaries such as The Shield's Final Chapter and WWE 24 on Ronda Rousey, respectively. Any thoughts?
We're in Canada.
We're screwed.
The WWE network for us is different.
Well, you can technically get that network if you want to.
Yeah, if you want to pay for a VPN, sure.
Well, you don't need a VPN.
You can get it through Apple TV. You have to pay through Apple, and you can get it on your Apple TV, but you can't have it on any other device.
Yeah.
Only Apple TV. So, you know, I don't have that. So most people still don't have that. Like, yeah, so I until they offer for people that are subscribing, have to subscribe through their network provider in Canada, such as, you know, well, me. And they fix that so they actually provide the content that's available to the for the Americans. You can get it on your laptop, and you can get it on your phone, but you can't get it on, for instance, your smart TV or your, you know, laptop.
I'll give WWE credit. That's not their fault. That's a CRTC thing, but I will say that's not going to be a thing that's going to bug Disney, because Bob Iger is going to pay whatever fine it is.
It's not a CRTC thing. When it launched, it was promised to have limited VOD content. They can't have it the exact same way on these smart devices, but they can have the VOD content available, much like they do for, well, anything else, HBO Canada. They can have that available, and they don't.
But isn't that HBO Canada that you crave? Because isn't the reason we don't have like an HBO Canada app is because Bell has the rights to it, so that's why it goes to crave?
No, we had an HBO Canada app. Canada only rebranded. They rebranded it to Crave in order to increase Crave sales, but not because they aren't legally allowed to have it. Hmm. Well, same thing.
What it was that Bell Media is the ones that are the lets HBO content in here, and they originally had the app, which was TMN, which was the movies and HBO. And that was how it came up here. We weren't allowed to have the HBO Now app, because then that would cut in, and Bell put the kibosh on that, because they have.
I had that app.
I'm shocked, because I went looking for that app, and it was not available up here for me.
No, I had that app. I had the HBO Canada app. HBO now, Canada question, did have its own app.
How did you sign into it? Did you just sign in username?
I signed in through my service provider.
See, and that's the thing. That's how it works. Is that's how the now dead FX Now app worked. Is you have to sign in through your cable provider. What HBO wanted was it just to be you could sign in username, password, and go in, but you had to subscribe to that through cable, and that's the problem that we have with the WWE network. Is you have to subscribe through the cable, and that's why having HBO on Crave now is incredible, and I thoroughly enjoy where it is now. But
none of this limits the fact that they can have VOD content through the service provider.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
None of that limits.
Crave to me is the best streaming app in Canada. I love Crave.
That's what I'm saying. The WWE is allowed to have, through the service provider, VOD content. They don't provide it to the service provider. So that's why it isn't that VOD content it's only a live stream in Canada. It's great when you watch the pay-per-views to watch it through your service provider. It's a little bit more money than the $9.99, but that's fine. You know, it's still a good deal. But the fact is that you get the VOD content, you can receive it, like, say, through your laptop, you can receive it through your phone. If you want to go in, though, and watch the VOD, if you want to sit there and say, I want to watch an evening's worth of Diamond Dallas Page matches, you're only going to be able to do it through your phone or through your laptop. There's nothing that prevents that from being set available through the service providers in Canada for the WWE network. They can do that. They don't. It's never been a priority. And I always think that's BS, that we, the Canadians, don't have all the same content readily available, easily available, that you do in America.
Yeah, it's not just us, though. Aussies and the Brits have the same problem. I'm sure as others do. I just know from my Australian, and obviously being half English, that it's also a problem out in England as well.
And I mean, you look at how the app's set up for us. You have to log in every single time. And you have to log in through two different you have to enter in two different username and passwords. You have to log into WWE. Then you have to log in using your cable provider. Mm-hmm. And then you have to do that all over again. If you close the app down and then open back up for whatever reason, then you have to go through that whole process again. for whatever reason, I have a brand new iPad and I have a brand new Apple TV, and for the life of me, I can't AirPlay. I can't watch it on my TV, so I have to either watch it on my iPad.
It only does on the old ones for some reason. I don't know why either. It's bizarre.
And so it limits what I can watch. Like, if I want to go upstairs and watch an old Bret Hart match with my dad, I had to originally take my old laptop, run an HDMI cable, plug it into the TV, and watch it from there, which I just think is unacceptable for 2019. I think if I want to go and be like, hey, Dad, let's watch Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect from SummerSlam because I'm in a SummerSlam mood, that should be able to happen, no problem. I know this is small potatoes in the grand scheme of things in the big world out there, but damn it, I want to be able to watch my wrestling and enjoy it. I want to be able to stream it in 1080. I don't understand why it's not in 1080. You should be able to give me that as a consumer.
It needs 4K. And, you know, that is coming readily, more readily available. They're still not in 1080p.
Oh, for the network? Yeah, they're still not in 1080p.
No.
And here's the other thing, and it's another small thing, it's a small nitpick, but if I want to watch the build to Backlash 99, I shouldn't have to go through and find, okay, here's the Raw, here's the SmackDown, here's the Raw, here's the SmackDown. You should have it set up where there's a playlist, where you can bounce and you can go and you can watch the build to whatever match was on there. If I want to watch all the pay-per-views in order for 2002, then I should be able to do that. That should be something that I should be able to have the ability to do. And the WWE Network app, even the one down in the States, is designed with 2010 in mind. And we're entering 2020 here. I feel like this app will probably be 2014 app design and layout. And they're just going to keep playing catch up. And that's why you're not hitting your $2 billion subscriber count that you want for the network, or two million subscribers. I don't know which number it is, but you're not hitting the number that you want. It's because you're not.
Their projections would be that they'd be at 5 million at this point when they launched it. They were expecting to launch at 1 million and be at 2 million 1 year after launch. To launch immediately at 1 million, to be 2 million 1 year after the launch, and then to grow from there. And they were expected to be at this point, because I believe it launched in 2014, they're expected to be at 5 million, was their projections that they gave investors at the time. Obviously, that's not happening. And in fact, at this point, you might be at 1.5 million in a year's time, 1.4, you know?
That's a problem. That is a legitimate problem. This app that arguably is... a massive deal for WWE and massive for wrestling fans. You should be taking care of that your bread, because that's your bread and butter 10 years down the line. That's going to be the thing that you're going to have, that's going to be guaranteeing you that you can get your content out to wrestling fans, is the WWE Network. You should be taking care of that, and you should be looking at what everyone else is doing, and then you should be looking at what you can do differently than everyone else. You should take like Netflix, as much as Netflix has sucked right now in the original content and just the down numbers, there's not a better overall streaming app than Netflix. Just
Amazon says hi.
I still don't like the Amazon layout. I still think it's I'm not a fan of it. But Netflix, the layout, the fluidity of jumping from show to show and from episode to episode, offering the 1080p, I just feel like overall, not from a content standpoint, but from the actual app, I feel like Netflix is still an incredible app and still an incredible accomplishment in what they've been able to do. They've got to get their shit together if they want to keep going. But WWE should be looking at that and going, we want to be like that. We want to be better than that. We want to be like that. We want to continue to strive to give you guys the best possible streaming app process possible, so that when you want to go watch a random Raven match, you have no issues. You can easily go in and watch that match, no problem. And then when you watch that one match, you can, it should be treated like WWE's version of YouTube. It should be, you go down that little rabbit hole of wrestling matches where you're watching Dusty and Ric Flair, and then you're watching Sandman and Tommy Dreamer, and then you're watching Ricky Garvin, and then you're watching Rikishi, and then you're watching Val Venus, and then you're watching Batista, and then you end on Cena, and it's this whole little fluid rabbit hole that you've suddenly gone down of just ping-ponging around the wrestling world, but it's not. And that speaks to WWE as a whole, is they don't, I don't think they overly care. They go and they're like, well, this is good enough. They take their little crayons, they color in a few things and go, here you go, this is good enough. And that's the problem that they have. That is why, to tie it all in with what we were talking about at the beginning, that is why the numbers are down. The Saudi stuff will cover up some of it, but ultimately this is a company that it just doesn't care. And you see that in the booking. You see that with Seth as your champion. You see the same storylines regurgitating over and over again. I think someone made a point. This is basically a rehashing of Hell in a Cell 2017. It was somewhere around there where Shane's feuding with KO. Ziggler's feuding with Miz. Same old, same old. And that's...
Yeah, you know, it's not that they don't care. I will say that. It's not that they don't care. It doesn't matter if you don't care, if you don't know what... If you care, if you don't know what you're doing. I mean, I don't think it's that they don't care, especially when it comes to... Like, they're not trying to put out a bad product. I mean, I think that's Seth Rollins' whole point about all this is, Jesus Christ, guys, we're trying our damnedest here. Why don't you appreciate it? And it's like, well, we don't appreciate it because your damnedest is no good. But thanks for trying. It's basically, you know... is kind of the thing. As far as the app, though, I mean, yeah, you're talking about since that thing launched, and it's so good that finally doing this, because, yeah, I mean, since then, things like DAZN have launched, you know, with the great apps. And Disney's about to launch, and Disney's going to be a game changer in the way they present things. Make no doubt about it. Innovative, you know? And so, yeah, I mean, if you don't change with the times, yeah.
Well, I mean, I think you just mentioned it, like DAZN. I look at that as the launch was terrible. Everything was lagging. The layout wasn't very well done. No one really knew what to get. And then, I mean, I think it's as simple as John Skipper joining them. And as soon as John Skipper joined them, being formerly with ESPN, man, did he make that thing a powerhouse. To the point, like, the Pacquiao fight was this week. Everyone I talked to thought the fight was on DAZN. It was on some weird thing called Fox pay-per-view that I've never heard of in my entire life. But they've made themselves now be this place that boxing matters. And for the first time, I would say, I can't, since like the days of Lennox Lewis or Tyson, boxing is starting to get a little bit of a buzz in like the mainstream a little bit more, especially with the I'm forgetting the guy that had the huge upset a little bit ago. Who am I thinking of? You know who I'm talking about, Mo. Who had the huge upset?
I know you're talking about.
I know. It's late.
I do love my DAZN. I got to tell you, they've become a player, and it's presentation, it's the quality of the video, it's just everything the way they do it. And you know, it's the content.
Absolutely, and that's because John Skipper. And that's because my point is, that's
right, absolutely.
Because John Skipper came in 2018 and he completely changed it. And now in the U.S., they're going after they're trying to go to the NBA, but I don't think the NBA is going to give them their streaming rights. That's the one thing they've really succeeded in. But they're going to try to go for the NFL now in the States. I know we've had it up here in Canada, but they're going after the NFL and they're going over the NHL. They're trying to do everything they can out of the States. And I wonder. I mean, we already know AW will be on Bleacher Report, so we'll see how that app does. But, you know, they also, at one point, they had MLW on there. My point is, maybe WWE has to look at, and this is the problem that they do have, and we're going to get to the conference call stuff in a bit here. They never outsource anything else to an outside party or someone that has as much experience in something to come and run it. That's the one thing I have liked that Vince did with the XFL, is he let Oliver Luck come in and control things. It's the first time I think he's ever really let someone in that world come in and control things. And I think the presentation of everything so far has been impressive to me, because Oliver Luck and the other ex-NFL players that have been in control of it have been able to put their stamp on it, and Vince has stepped away to a degree, as far as we know. They need to do something similar like that.
Considering what he's paying Oliver Luck, better let him have some say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that guy's salary is insane.
And for the network, they need to kind of just step back and let somebody else take control of it. I mean, we saw what happened with NXT when Vince has his hands off of things, what NXT could be and what it's flourished into be, to be arguably, some people say, the top brand, the number two brand, whatever you wanted to say. And with the network, they really need to access it out to an outside group, to a John Skipper type, to come in and be like, this is what we need to do. This is the way they have position. Maybe it is a former executive of Hulu or Netflix or something, but that's kind of where you need to go.
So if you'll remember when the WWE Network launched, it had shows like, Top 10 and WrestleMania. Yeah, WrestleMania Rewind.
Mm-hmm.
Legends
House.
What else? Legends House they had in the can for a while, but I was thinking, obviously Monday Night War came shortly after. The WrestleMania that they first launched for was the WrestleMania in New Orleans. Remember they were just live at the convention there, and they would have people come up unscripted and just cut promos and do different things and push their match, and it had an overall sports feel to it. And it, like, the product was presented very much in a sports way.
Much like the PTI scene they had that they got rid of.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of some of the other shows they had at lunch.
And that PTI had up and down feelings about that show with Bradshaw and Rosenberg, but at least it was something different. And they were they were talking about Will Ospreay and Ricochet on there when they just had that controversial match in Japan. So why not continue to go with that?
I wish I could remember a couple of the other shows they had, because they had a couple of the shows. But the point being, though, that these shows they very much felt like a sports presentation. That didn't last very long. Vince basically came in and fired the lady who was running. I can't remember who it was, but the woman that was in charge of it was let go fairly shortly, like 3 months after launch or something like that. And of course, the numbers launched not over their projections, but there was numerous reasons for that. Numerous reasons that had nothing to do with the actual quality of the network. Pardon me?
Finish your thought, Mo. I have something I'd like to add after.
Yeah, so they pretty shortly went after that, and then you'll remember they kind of rebranded, and that's when they brought in all the sports entertainment shows. That's when they brought in all the shows that were, things like the what was the Camp WWE, and what was the one that there was a Swerved or whatever, their one that was like Punked, right? And they tried to do it basically became more of that sports entertainment feel that Vince wanted. And when that didn't work, they produced all this content that was extremely expensive, and it didn't work, and they didn't really increase sales. That's when they went to what they have now, which is more shows like Photoshoot or Drive Along, which are super cheap to produce, incredibly cheap. So they're producing content at spending almost no money now. So now they're not doing the pro sports presentation, not doing the sports entertainment presentation. They largely are just the really, really cheap shows that they can film and do really, really quick, or some documentaries. So it doesn't really have a personality from that perspective anymore either.
Yeah, I don't know why many people would want to be subscribed. I mean, if you lived in the States, I don't know why you have a subscription to the network if you have Hulu. I honestly just don't know why. Because you can just watch 205 NXT, including the NXT pay-per-views, on the next day on the Sunday. So you just have to wait. You can't watch the NXT pay-per-view live. Wait till the Sunday. The pay-per-view is up on there. So why would you get the network then? Unless you really want these 24s. That's really the only thing.
You launched it with a sports feel because you had somebody who wasn't a WWE person that was brought in, that was hired to run it, and she was like, oh, right away, because she didn't know WWE wasn't supposed to be sports.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Joel, make one more point, then we're going to get to the investors part of the conference call.
So I have gotten the update for the WWE Network on my iPad, my phone, and and as of right now, I'm hopeful this is fixed, but you as a Canadian subscriber cannot log in using the information for your WWE account and then using your server information. So technically you can't watch any content as we're recording this to watch on your iPad, iPhone.
So they changed it then. So
the functionality we had yesterday is gone.
Yeah. So I tried to go on the computer just to try that route. They said they're updating it and this page will be available tomorrow. So we'll see how long this takes. But if you're in Canada and it is July 25th, you could be SOL for a while for watching on-demand WWE content, which I think is a huge component of it.
And that could be the same case then in other countries as well.
And that's a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
I get that they're doing the update and they're doing this launch, but I feel as though a big corporation like that, you should be able to communicate with your consumers. Hey, just so you know, the network's going to be down from this time to this time because we need to do our update and we need to do it right. So it's going to take a little bit of time. So just so you know, VOD will not be available from this time to this time. We apologize in advance. We're working our best to get everything up and running so you can have the best product possible. Simple CPR stuff.
Just out of curiosity there, Joel, you ever have any trouble with the New Japan app? Because I never do, and it's in freaking Japanese, but I can find everything I want. Matches I want, gear I want, events I want, anything.
It's amazing how well a product not designed for me to understand. I understand, and I can – they have the English tab. They have created so much – they have been so accommodating for English-speaking people to use New Japan World. And, like, all the G1's in English. I remember the first G1 I watched, only certain – I think the first night and then the final night for Block A and B and then the G1 final was in English. Now the whole flipping thing's in English.
First one I watched, nothing was in English. Still loved it.
So you're the veteran.
let's get to the conference call part of this. We're going to go to the cliff notes, I think, though, since we're going to run in a little bit longer here and we got a few more subjects to hit on. So let's just kind of get to some of the cliff notes I had here instead of the full diagnostic of everything. So here's coming some of the minor notes I had. So we started off Vince McMahon saying the company's revenue for quarter two is what it is.
That's what he said.
Yep.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm. It is what it is. Worth adding that since today, WWE's two-quarter report was released. The stock was up today by 6% today. Curry Baker is interrogating George Barrows for information on what to expect on the pending India deal, which they've been saying they have this big India deal for a while, and Barrows wouldn't say anything. No one would say anything. Vince on the roles of Heyman and Bischoff. I can't personally be in the weeds any longer. They will have a lot of latitude. Who calls bullshit on that? Put your hands up.
Oh, sorry. You didn't even ask if I called bullshit. I called bullshit.
Vince McMahon regarding the on-screen product. We definitely have turned the corner. Addition of executive directors to each show that they have spent more time in storyline and talent development. Vince McMahon repeatedly categorizing AEW as doing blood and guts and says he can't imagine TNT will put up with that.
Well, they AEW has already said.
I'm just doing a commentary underneath you here at this point. Like, all this stuff just makes my blood boil.
AEW has said that the blood and the death matches will be on pay-per-view and then TNT will be the product. So there'll be a place and time for things. Imagine that, a place and time for
a few more things. Thank you for that, Joel. A caller brought up the rumblings of NXT having a television show and possibly moving to like mainstream TV. Barrows said that every piece of content they need to evaluate on the best platform. He ran through the various ways to put on the show and said the question applies to everything. They said they won't talk about NXT specifically right now, which was a pretty weak thing by me. A caller asked about promotion, how much promotion Fox will provide. And they spoke that they're excited to be partnering with Fox and said that they're going to get promotion during NASCAR, during the NFL, and during the Masked Singer, which was a program they've had. And it will be during many Fox programs. I can see that maybe out the start. But I can't imagine Joe Buck calling a WWE thing at like game six of the World Series. I don't know if they have baseball still, but I imagine off the start, it'll be hot, hot, hot for the WWE, and that will kind of ease down. Whereas on TNT, I can consistently will see them talk about AEW. I mean, they already have a huge fan over there with Charles Barkley, who's a huge wrestling fan. And they have kind of the inside the NBA crew to do stuff there. I think there's going to be much more support from TNT side to promote AEW than I think Fox will kind of take a drift as time goes on the WWE promotion, as we've seen from Fox shows in the past.
There will be far more synergy between TNT and I believe in AEW. And a big part of that is that Fox, if you're going to promote it during the World Series as a sporting event, when people turn it on, when they turn on that event, and they see, well, I mean, this last Monday, 31 minutes of wrestling in a 3-hour show, just as an example, just to see the sports entertainment product, the 24/7 stuff like that. It's not going to mix well. They don't know anything else.
A few other things that what Barros asked. Caller asked Barros and questioned him about what they thought the 2020 projection were. Barros said it was silly to consider anything about 2020 at this point, which it's like, dude, it's July. Like, come on.
I work for a major corporation. And let me tell you right now, everything I'm doing at work is working towards our 2020. So,
A caller asked about television ratings, the pay television market, and the on-demand WWE content in India. And that's, again, what Barros kind of said that he didn't know. And he said, we're looking into internal data. So they used, again, a lot of buzzwords. They spoke about Saudi Arabia and what that's worth, and they said it's worth 20 to 10, it's 10 to 20 million beforehand. So they just seemed to really dodge a lot of questions. They didn't really talk about anything. They didn't talk about the NXT future show. They kind of didn't really talk about whether they talked about what Bischoff to. Oh, and the last one they talked about was a caller asked about the possibility of content getting grittier and how that might be an issue with their advertisers and partners. Vince said they will get a tad bit edgier, yet remain in a PG environment. Quote, we're not going to go back to the old Attitude Era or blood and guts. Vince mentioned something about how their new competitor may take that approach. So that's where the AEW situation came from, where he said that.
You've already seen that on the program, and that it's not necessarily more violent. It's not necessarily more sex appeal. But there is more adult language, and I think that's what they mean. Being able to use terms like bitch and this and that. That
Corey saying shit. Would,
yeah, exactly. That's what they mean by that.
Anything that guys more that you take away from all those stuff? To me, it just seems like a company that's, I hate to use spiraling, but not obviously where they want to be. We just had an hour podcast talking about the G1. There's other things to watch wrestling. Even something as crazy as Wrestling Circus. You can go watch Orin Cassidy. There's way more outlets to watch professional wrestling than there's ever been.
You can watch Mexican wrestling, but yeah. And you can. You can watch wrestling from Australia. Watch Australian wrestling from
Circus has been
Europe.
Go ahead,
Joel. Nope, Joel.
I was going to say Wrestle Circus has canceled a show with no notice to fans, and it sounds like Wrestle Circus may be DOA.
Well, fuck that for them then. But there's still other places you can watch wrestling. And I think, we're going to see what AAA does in this MSG show. That's a subject for another day. But obviously AEW, the G1 with New Japan, MLW is still out there. Impact.
MLW. I feel like I'm stepping on everyone.
Sorry, if I could just say two things. Number one, this was pointed out by Dave Meltzer. I'll just repeat what he said, that 18 months ago they had a Raw reunion type show that drew 4.6 million viewers compared to the 3 million this time. Mm. But they're down 31% in 18 months from what their peak possible audience is. Mm-hmm. And they are also were bragging, and this is actually Brian Alvarez, I think, who said this one. They're bragging because they were down only 16% drop. So that they were dropping 24% for most year over year for most of this. The last couple of weeks, they're only down 16% from 2 years ago or from a year ago, hiding the fact that, yes, you're not down 24%. You're still down 16%, by the way. that is twice what any other cable network or what the average cable network drop is.
So. Just as a quick note, MLW has entered a working agreement with Pro Wrestling NOAH.
Interesting.
Excellent.
I thought that was just worth slipping in there.
And Impact hasn't been egregious. So there's Impact if people want to watch Impact.
Where? Impact? It's not on... They found somebody to air them?
Are they not in Canada anymore?
I don't know. Maybe they're in Canada, but I know...
I think they're on Pop TV, aren't they?
No, I think there was something going on there with...
I know they do a lot of stuff on Twitch, too.
They were hoping to get on Access. And the deal with Access didn't come together. And they're still hoping to get on Access. And so now I believe the current deal is done. So they're kind of stuck where they're like, nobody wants to carry them when they know that they want to leave to go to Access. But on the other hand, they don't have a deal with Access. Weird. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, my overall point is, despite all these other things that happened, is that there's other places to watch wrestling right now, which is a factor of why the WWE ratings have declined. But it's also those products are better, and there's other things for people to watch. And if they're going to talk about, like you just said, Mo, like, oh, well, our ratings are only down 16%. Well, in about a month now, the NFL comes back, and those ratings are going to go down even more, which is why if you were going to have a Raw reunion, why did you not do that against the NFL? If you were going to pull that, do it the first night against the NFL at the very least. But no, they just did it in the middle of summer. Coincidentally, before this conference calls, they'd be like, well, you see, they're rising. And we all know it's a bullshit number. People are turning in to see Stone Cold or their favorites. But how long are those going to last for? Kevin Nash seemed invisible in that show. His name doesn't carry anymore. How much longer do these legends come back and they matter? Like, the only legend that really matters to see again now is The Rock now, because it's been so long without The Rock. Mm-hmm. And how long will they overdo that again like they did last time? So I don't – it's fun to do these reunion shows. But you know what's also fun? Putting ahead your storylines. And the only thing they really did on Monday night about putting ahead their storyline was the thing with Bray and Mick Foley. Other than that, nothing else mattered in reliance to SummerSlam at all.
Even that didn't actually build SummerSlam. Just did something for the Bray character.
Well, got him his mandible claw, at least.
You know what? I remember I was like, talking to somebody who's like, I'm looking forward to Monday. And I was like, I refuse to watch that. I refuse to watch them. I refuse to watch them pull out all these stars from the past to try and pop a rating and support that by actually watching them, helping them pop a rating, instead of turning around and putting on a good product week after week. And when you say television, it's down. Like I say, at the end of the day, everything comes back to, is the product good? If the product is good, it doesn't matter if there's other wrestling out there. People will be watching WWE. And if the product isn't good, it's not just other wrestling. It's other things that are better television programs that are good. And that's what it comes down to. It's about the quality. And I'm like, I'm not supporting them trying to pop a rating with these old guys instead of actually fixing the product and making good storylines and good wrestling.
Week one of the NFL on the Monday night, you're going against Houston Texans and the New Orleans Saints, which is an outside chance to be a possible Super Bowl matchup. And then mm-hmm. you're going to have the Denver Broncos and the Oakland Raiders. The Raiders are going to have the star power of Antonio Brown, plus a bunch of people that have just watched them off of Hard Knocks. Plus the Broncos have nice defense, brought Joe Flacco in. That's a big-time rivalry in the NFL.
It's a huge rivalry. That's the thing. Right?
Good luck going against that, because that's a – Monday Night Football traditionally has had some bad matchups, and I know it's a thing that Goodell and the NFL has made sure that we're going to have good matchups for Monday Night Football this year. And the NFL doesn't need any help, but having better matchups obviously will help. And in week one, they're going right at – not anybody in particular, but they're going to have two fantastic matchups to go on the Monday.
But even before that – it's not like up between now and when the NFL
it doesn't matter. It's just another thing to kill them.
I don't expect the ratings to continue to go up, nor do I expect them to flatline and stay where they've been these last 2 weeks. There's a little bit of curiosity because of the Heyman and Bischoff, and then there's a little bit of the tricks they're pulling to pull the rating. And at the end of the day, it's going to come back to, do I need to watch this? No, and it's going to continue to slowly fall. And yes, then you're going to see a more dramatic fall obviously as far as viewers are concerned, when, you know, when the NFL starts, but also Fridays. Like I'm
yeah, you know, that's Fox, the reason that matters,
disappointed with this number. Fox will be guaranteed they will be disappointed with this number.
What number is Fox looking for, do you think? Are they looking for this 3 and above?
I believe they're looking for about 3 million viewers, yeah.
Look at that maybe to start.
And I believe they're certainly looking, and the one thing WWE does do is fairly well is that 18 to 49 or 18 to 34 in that range, you know, a male viewer, they do fairly steady with that. So, you know, I know that we have less viewers as long as you have those particular viewers, that actually carries a little bit extra weight. But yeah, I believe it is 2.75 million viewers is what they're looking for on the USA Network, and 3 million is what Fox is looking for.
Right.
And 2.65 is probably, and 2.9 and 2.65 are the low end of what they would accept.
Joel, any last thoughts about everything?
I don't know. You look at where the company's headed, you look at the numbers, and this is, I feel like this may be there have been little signs, but I feel like this is a slightly bigger sign of the atrophy within WWE, that 3 million views that they hit with Fox. I think you're right. I think they're going to hit it initially, and I think it's going to start to teeter off. I mean,
they just hit 3 million by bringing back The Rock, or not The Rock, everybody Stone but Cold. The
Stone Cold. I gotta just say that
3 million is right now the most they can hit. Like that's it. They cannot hit more than this.
They were against nothing
in USA. So what does that mean? 3.1 is the most they can hit on Fox. Like I don't even think they'll get to 3 million ever. The way it's going, maybe that first time out of curiosity, but if this couldn't draw 4.5 million like it did 18 months ago, then how can they do it on a Friday on Fox?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think that you look at it, and this is where we really need to do the show on how to structure a TV show, specifically a Monday Night Raw.
We will do that.
Because you look at it where we're at a point where WWE should be the best it's ever been. For in-ring content, they have some of the best talent in the world. And they have some of the best guys that they have a deeper roster. The deepest talent anything.
Far and away.
Pardon?
It's the deepest talent far and away.
They should be able to run fresh matchups, have stars, have guys that are basically cogs in the wheel that you're like, okay, so this cog and this cog will be put together for a little bit. All right, now we're going to put this cog over here and put this cog over here, and we're going to let them do their thing. And when things aren't working, we're going to adapt. But we constantly see it's almost like they're afraid. They're afraid to be... to take any real chances. This is safe, so we're going to stay within our little sandbox that has dried up. It has some bugs crawling through it, but it doesn't matter. But this is safe, so this is where we're staying. We're not going to take any risks. We're not going to change anything up. We look at any company that has been successful has been able to grow and evolve. WWE has not grown and evolved since what? 2002? Would you say that's the last time you could say
1992?
I'd say probably about 97.
97. So we're sitting. So we'll take the middle. We'll go 97. So from 97 to 2019, this company hasn't grown, and it's survived for so far, and it probably in all likelihood will keep going on for the foreseeable future. But at what point does not learning from your mistakes, not willing to take chances, and not willing to build, tell me this. This is what I want to use to end my little rant. Of the current roster of guys that, and we're going to exclude Cena and Orton in this, of everyone that you scrap both those guys, who can they bring from this current crop of talent to bring in when they need to pop the ratings in 10, 15 years? Who's the guy the big star? And I'll tell you who it could be, and it's the Shield. But we've already seen them dip that well way too early, and it fizzled out rather quickly. It didn't work. That's, to me, that's about it. Maybe Brian, but I think Brian's just going to keep wrestling. He'll find another spot. Brian said he wants to wrestle till he's 70. I think he's crazy, but to each their own. Everyone has a life they want to live. But who can they bring in? Who could they bring in? Who's the equivalent to to Austin, to Hogan, to Flair, to all these legends that they could bring in and people be like, oh, I remember him. This is great. I'm so excited to see this. Who?
Well, it's probably AJ.
But it won't be the same level of those guys. There will be nobody the same level of those guys. No. Nobody's as big a star as those guys.
No.
But then you have to keep in mind when you're saying this, is people like the Godfather, the modern day equivalent of the Godfather, say Heath Slater, people won't be as excited to see him in 15 years as they are to see the Godfather.
D'Lo Brown in it would have got a pop more than any guy that they had.
Yeah, like those people are. So even their mid card guys aren't. You know? Yeah.
Maybe truth?
Maybe.
Yeah.
The one name you could maybe bring back in 10, 15 years to pop a rating is Rhonda. But that depends on where she goes and how everything plays out with her. But that's still a big maybe.
I'm not excited to watch. I'm not excited to watch Charlotte and Trish. So who knows?
Yeah, that'll be interesting then.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there'll be a few people that'll be popular. I mean, Natalya would get a pop, but is she gonna, as far as from a reaction from the crowd in 10 years, but will she actually pop a rating? No. Not Becky? In the same way. No. God, no.
I don't really know the answer. It's a good question. I don't know.
Like I say, mid-carders aren't as over. You know, I mean, it's the thing, like Jeff Cobb. We talked about him in the last show a little bit. Jeff Cobb is not going to win more than 2 or 3 matches at this year's G1. Last year, Adam Page, I think, only won 3 matches. But they didn't come across like losers. WWE's guys, they all come across like losers, even if they're 50-50 booking. Something about the way they do it. The short
Samoa
matches,
Joe, man.
Just the presentation.
Look at Joe.
He's the one guy. Yeah.
He comes up with one a kick-ass promo and then loses.
In 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, like their guys feel, Apollo Crews feels like, you know, I mean, his record and Jeff Cobb's record are you know, both are not going to have a winning record, but Apollo Crews feels like far more of a loser the way he's presented than a guy like Jeff Cobb. It's all about, it's those little subtleties. So
that's where, to tip my hat slightly, where, spoiler alert, Isaiah Scott, Swerve, Shane Strickland loses to Drew Gulak, but I don't feel like Scott is a loser at the end of that match.
No.
I feel like he's a guy that came really close. He busted his hand and it screwed up his game for the rest of the match. And I feel like he had such a good showing that I'm like, well, this guy still looked really good. Gulak, I think that's a big part of Gulak being in the ring with him, and Gulak being one of the parts that, one of the people that trained him. It's one of those rare moments in WWE where I'm like, oh, well, Scott lost. I knew that was going to happen, but it didn't stop me from buying into seeing Scott throwing a flurry of offense and wanting to get behind this kid and wanting to believe that maybe he can have an upset. And even when he loses, it's like, it's not like, oh, well, he's a jobber. He's a loser. I don't care about him anymore. You're like, ah, oh, I want to. If he goes again, I think he can beat Gulak. That was the train of thought I had. And then I remember that this is all WWE and this will all go to hell momentarily. So.
Well, the thing is, it won't go to hell as long as they're 205 live. But as soon as they're brought over onto Raw, then they'll wear masks and lose in 2 minutes. And
it's still a friendly handshake with Roman.
Yeah.
You know, I'll say this just before we get to the last two subjects and get out of here. It's really weird because this was never a thing in wrestling. You never really saw, like, it's the Raw reunion for the 1994 Raw, and here comes Baron Van Raske. And he's going to show everyone the claw today. This was just not a thing that happened. And,
even at WrestleMania, if you look back at WrestleMania and you think about when the WWE was in the Attitude Era, what happened was WWE launched, and for years they brought in the celebrities. And there was a point where WWE, around WrestleMania 15, 16, said, we're going to stop bringing in celebrities because our guys are the celebrities now. Our guys are as big, and we're going to present them like they're as big as star. And at some point in time, it became that, well, we don't have a big match. Well, let's bring back let's bring in a big star. We'll bring in a Donald Trump or Floyd Mayweather, and then we'll bring back up The Rock. We'll bring back people from the past.
Yeah,
exactly. So we start bringing back these people, and you put them in the premier spots. And what it does is it makes more exciting WrestleMania, and it creates more interest. But it sacrifices your future, because for years we've been told now, hey, the real important matches are these people that are being brought in for one time, or these guys are X-stars. You're not presenting for them really to make these people stars, they need to do 5 years where there's no Undertaker, there's no John Cena, there's no Triple H, there's nobody from the past. The WrestleMania needs to be built around these current guys to the point where people go, those are the guys that are the stars that they see at that level. So, of course, that will no Shane McMahon. So, of course, that will never happen.
It's funny because the one guy that I think they've done an actual okay job with so far, and when I say okay, I say it very lightly, is Ricochet has been built decently. And Aleister Black's been okay as well. But Ricochet, at this point at the very least, and they're definitely going to let us down, but at this point right now, Ricochet's been dealt a decent hand. How they continue with Ricochet, I'd like to say I don't know, but we know. But it's been not terrible how Ricochet's been built so far.
Here's a point. I think it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, to the date. This is the same date that Finn Balor pinned Roman Reigns clean and went on to be the one of the contenders for the newly christened WWE Universal title. Where's Finn Balor now?
He's going on vacation with his really attractive girlfriend.
I thought it was fiance now.
Even better.
Life's not bad for old Phineas. From a personal standpoint, from a booking standpoint, like, didn't he lose in like 60 seconds?
Look at Sasha on that Raw. Like, same thing. Sasha was on that Raw too. Won her first title. Look where Sasha is now. No, we don't know where Sasha is. Well, we do. She's on vacation. I don't know. She's training with different wrestling groups, but not a peep from Sasha Banks, who could be a star, should be a star. And AEW would welcome her with open arms to be the star of that women's division.
This is the thing. And this is tell me when they brought someone back for an NXT takeover to help boost ticket sales, because the current crop that they had wasn't nearly good enough to help get move tickets.
Liger's the only person they brought in.
Yeah, but he wasn't brought into
blue. No, I know.
Like,
it's
just like they thought that'd be cool. Same thing like when Tyson Kidd and stuff like that was there. I mean, it was
crazy.
You know, it was more to Cesaro. It was more to reboot those guys than it was because they needed them to sell tickets.
Yeah, they never it's always been that. About the product. Because Hunter gets it, and that's why Vince has this line about like, I've been in the weeds too long. It's like, yeah, but you're gonna kind of hunch down and raise up from the weeds like the face you had against Hogan at WrestleMania every once in a while.
He's gonna smile and then he's gonna go right back down in there and he's gonna be like, nope, this is wrong.
The WrestleMania I went to, I was so happy to see Sting. I wasn't sure if he was gonna have another match in WWE, but honestly, it's the wrong thing to do to bring in Sting back then, and it still is, because it just means it's presented as, like I say, you're not investing in your current. You're always saying at the end of the day, and that's come across, you know, subtly. It's psychological, subtly psychological thing.
This has gone on long, but I have a question, because I was there live, and I gotta ask you, what new star did they make at WrestleMania this year? What guy wasn't quite a star, but they made them a star using WrestleMania?
Well, they wanted to do that with Kofi. They wanted to do that with Becky, but it hasn't really come across the way. It doesn't, you know, you can't just make it in one night. You still have to have good booking after. And the problem with Kofi is not even so much his matches just haven't been. What's his four and a half star match since he won the title? You know, a great match.
Yeah, and he's had good opponents too. He's had good opponents, so that's not like the Baron Corbin excuse for Seth. He's had good people.
Maybe they haven't given them the right amount of time, but he just hasn't had that match that's just like has you talking the same way AJ had it when he had the belt a couple of years ago and consistently had those matches. It's like, you know, you're like, yeah.
All right.
We
got to move on because we're running long, and I know some of us want to get out of here. So let's get to like the last few subjects here really quickly here. Jimmy Uso, he was arrested for his third DUI, according to police reports. Initially responded about a complaint around a DUI at 1:30 after being advised an off-duty officer checked the vehicle, and he was well over 100 miles per hour. When the deputy requested Fatu's driver's license, registration, and proof of insurance, he appeared to have some issues holding the documents in his hand. He also had bloodshot, watery, droopy eyelids, dilated pupils, along with slow and slurred speech, and the deputy could smell alcohol emitting from the driver's side window after requesting Fatu to step out the vehicle multiple times. When the wrestler finally did get out, he appeared unsteady on his feet, which is when the deputy asked Fatu if he was willing to ride with him and then gave him the sobriety test while explaining that he was conducting a DUI. Fatu kept on asking if he needed a lawyer to be present if he was being detained. After being told it was not possible to have a lawyer present, Fatu then took his phone out from his pocket and put it towards the deputy's face, which is when the officer placed him in handcuffs and under arrest.
So
welcome to the Uso Penitentiary.
I'm going to say this right now. This third one, this is very clearly an addict behaving, and you need to treat him like an addict, and you need to see if he wants to get help. And if he's not going to get help, then you gotta make some tough choices.
My question is, if this is his third time that he's been caught, how many times has he not been?
Yeah. How many people die from DUI drivers? Like how many people die in U.S. and Canada?
100 miles an hour, drunk? Are you shitting me?
At this point in time,
fault, or is it the fact that the WWE constantly has for years turned a blind eye to him? Jeff Hardy and Santino Marella and a bunch of other people who've been
30 died time. Last year, by the way, from drunk drivers.
Too many.
That's too many.
Yeah.
WWE turns a blind eye, and they will. Last time this happened, they just put the belts on them right afterwards. And you know what? They make jokes about it.
He's responsible for his own actions.
Not on the WWE, but as long as it's on the. And another thing is, I'm sorry, but the laws around this are not nearly severe enough.
No, I had a buddy that just got a DUI. He laughed about it because he lost his license for 4 weeks. Car went to the car didn't even go to the impound. They just towed it to his house. Lost his license for 4 weeks. Demerits were pretty heavy, but his license was up for renewal anyway. So those demerits went off the license anyways. Didn't have his license for 4 weeks. Got buddies to drive him around. Paid, I think it was a $250 fine, and moved on with his life. It should feel like it's a life altering decision for you to get into that vehicle. And for these guys, they think that they're bigger than that because they are working for a big time company, a big time organization, and they're not going to get disciplined. I can guarantee you that if someone in the NHL, the NBA, if they were a star, they're probably going to get a bigger fine. At the very least, they're getting fined by their company. Suspension, I'm not going to guarantee. If it was like LeBron that did it, he's not going to get suspended. But there is at least going to be a fine. And these guys aren't even getting fined.
They have all the money they need to be able to pay for whatever way to get home they want.
Yeah.
You know, they could easily get an Uber. I'm sorry, but it's partially on Fatu, you know. You know, the Usos, what's his name? Was it Jimmy?
This is Jimmy. This is the one that's married to Naomi.
Yeah, it's Jimmy, so it's partially on him. Like I say,
It's partially on the WWE for not, and it's partially on the laws not being strict enough. Mm-hmm. All these things have created this, and like I say, I bet you would not be surprised if it's over 100 times he's driven drunk over the years. Eventually, sometime, it's going to lead to disaster.
I think what Canada's done.
Bill DeMont's daughter was killed by a drunk driver.
Really? That's terrible. Yeah. By the way, shouts to Baron Saxon's father. That was a really unfortunate news. I know his parents are obviously really all our parents are close, but he's still, you know the story about him living with his parents and everything. I will say this. I think Alberta has done such a good job of with the DUI stuff. I'm pretty sure this is along Canada, but of having the check stops everywhere. And I have gone through like five of those check stops and blowing it. And talking to the officers during it, they're like, "You mind taking a test?" I'm like, "No, not at all." And it's crazy how many people that have fought them on it, even if they haven't gone over the limit. But I'm like, you know, it's better just to be safe with this. For those who don't know, that listen to us in the States or whatever, in Canada now, they just have this new impaired driving law. I think a lot of it was because with marijuana becoming legal as well, that they just have check stops randomly all over the city. And even if you are 100% sober, everyone blows. It's not like, have you drinking tonight? It's like, no, you're blowing, period. And I think that has put the rate down a lot for Canada-wide doing that. And that's something that obviously in the States they need to adapt as well.
Yeah, it's kind of like the WWE creative team. Everyone blows.
Good one. Joel, any last thoughts on this one?
He needs help, and his current employer, I don't think, cares all that much if he needs help or not.
Literally. No, and I mean, you know, he's also too thinking you're king shit, because the last time he got arrested, he was pretty degrading to a police officer with the stuff in Naomi. I know the officer maybe there was some stuff that maybe the officer was a little bit up and down with stuff, and that's going to open a bigger thing there. But, you know, some of these guys think that they're bigger than what they are and think that shit don't stink, and they're talking down to a police officer. Just get in your car and leave. And in that situation, too, I think Naomi was the one that was drinking as well. Just why are you continually doing this? Because you don't have any repercussions. The thing is,
drinking and driving, listen, go back and listen to Ric Flair or any of those guys in any of those shoot interviews or anything like that. Talk about the stories about it when they would be driving in town to town and they would go buy, you know, 24 beers and be drinking them and throwing them out the window and you know, JBL and stuff like that. Like it's been part of the wrestling culture for a long time too.
Mm-hmm.
And drinking and driving has been part of the wrestling culture for a long time.
Well, even Austin during his promo was like, "God damn, went down, had a beer with Mark Henry. Then I saw Ron Simmons. Then I saw The Godfather." And it's just kind of this whole thing of this big collective thing of all drinking together. I don't know who Brad Shepherd is, but it's going around. And according to him, a WWE source told him that Jimmy Uso will be taking a quote-unquote Alicia Fox-esque break, if not now, after SummerSlam. There's not only concern with him with this, but there's been some concern about his attitude in the back as well.
Yeah, you know. But Jeff Hardy gets drunk, and what he does in his own time is not the WWE's concern.
Yeah, I think this may even just be maybe Jimmy getting talked to by his wife and being like, "You need to leave for a bit." Who knows? And the last thing, there's two kind of things that are tied in. We don't need to go too much in this because we've obviously already gone long, but AEW officially on Wednesdays. I messed that up already. AEW on Wednesdays. I think we all kind of saw this coming, though.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that really made sense for them.
Now that's officially announced, this will be fun to see the snowball effect, both from WWE kind of programming, as well as whether or not, now that their program is announced in the States, how that leads to any international distribution deals.
Yeah. And then finally, the CM Punk story. Joel, I'll let you take this one away.
Oh boy. You've dropped this in my lap. Mm-hmm. So CM Punk did an interview with ESPN, and basically he said that I always think if somebody wants to do business with me, they can come talk to me. Texting offers isn't really a way to do good business, at least. And he also added, the last thing I got a text from Cody Rhodes. And again, I almost don't even know how to reply to them sometimes, because if I reply, they do interviews and are like, "Oh yeah, I just talked to Punk. I'm kind of damned if I do, damned if I don't. I know that they like to talk about me a lot. If I text Matt Jackson, hey, have a great show tonight, which I did when they had their big show in Vegas, they somehow turn into Tony Khan telling people I have a great that he has a great relationship with me. I've said it in the past. I've talked to them, but nothing ever came of anything. Hangman Page sent out a tweet basically parodying what Mr. Phil Brooks said. My two cents on this, and this, I've texted this to Josh already, and this was my take on it, was Tony Khan wanted to build a wrestling company around one guy, and that was CM Punk. And you look at how he built a wrestling company around Jericho, the Bucks, and Cody. Everything that he did, the private jet to bring Jericho to All In, just the little things that he did, the big executive box for Jaguar Games, just everything that he did to woo the Bucks, Cody, and Jericho to sign with AEW. You can't tell me that there hasn't been a bit just text messages to Punk. I mean, Punk's probably the most difficult person in wrestling to deal with, just because he's very skittish. He's kind of like a deer where if you get too close, he's going to run away. But I just can't see them just going off text messages to offer the guy. Arguably, what could be your version of Hulk Hogan for your company? I just don't see it. But if it is, then the whole tweet from Hangman and everything, that kind of a poor look for them. But at the same time,
Hangman's tweet in more detail, because I didn't.
I will read that to you. I've got to make sure I can track that down. There's a lot of wrestling stuff all over the place. He said, "Hey, Nick Jackson YB, your idea for my BTE bit was good, but if somebody wants me to do business with them, they can come talk to me. Texting offers isn't really a good way to do business, at least."
Okay.
So yeah,
that's playful. That's just playful.
Yeah, I mean, when you're dealing with a deer in the headlights and someone that holds grudges, it could be perceived as very malice and very not a good thing to put out there. I don't think that there is any malice. I think I lean more towards that this is a little bit more of a storyline, whether it is actually something for AEW or them just having fun screwing with wrestling fans, because that's probably a lot of fun to do. It could be one or the other. But I don't buy into the maybe this is serious and I'm misreading the whole thing, but I think this is I don't think that there's a big fire with this, especially with, again, the how Tony has presented himself to the other people that he built AEW around. I just don't see him being super cheap with a guy that he really wants.
I think you're right. I think there might be. I mean, I always figured he was going to wrestle at some point, so we'll see. I don't ever expect him to wrestle a full regular schedule. I think a match is not out of the possibility now at some point. We'll see.
I think he'll be back.
I think he'll be a spot performer in AEW, and I think someday, 15, 20 years from now, he'll be in the WWE Hall of Fame, provided they're not out of business. So he won't be in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I never say never in the WWE, but that's the one I'm starting to really lean into say never. Because I thought Bret Hart held grudges. I don't think anyone holds grudges like CM Punk.
15, 20 years from now, you don't know. Nobody holds grudges like Bruno Sammartino.
This is true.
I mean, yeah, he was almost 80, but he went in.
This is true. All right. Our long journey is over. I don't think there's anything. Well, there is the Daniel Bryan thing. We'll see where that goes. The rumor was 205 live.
Live.
Hmm.
It's totally. Look at his verbiage. It's exactly leading towards that. He wants to try and turn that into something. That'll be awesome. Unfortunately, you can't have Gulak as champion then.
Yeah, that'd be a bummer. Right, we're going to get out of here. Joel, thank you. Mo, as always, thank you. And everyone, and enjoy the next week of the G1 and get ready for SummerSlam that are going to enjoy it. I'm not, because I sold my tickets because I wasn't interested. And until next time, everyone, cheers.
Oh, hey, what do women and a dog turd have in common?
What?
They're both easier to pick up when they get older.
Enjoy the day, people.
Goodbye. And good night. Bang.